Welcome to the Christian Heritage Church podcast. We're located in Graniteville, South Carolina, near Augusta, Georgia. I'm Pastor Stephen Phillips, and I'm glad you've joined us. We're on a mission to love people to life in Jesus Christ. Our prayer is that this podcast will be used to bring you to life in Christ, renew your faith, and strengthen you on your journey with Him. To learn more about Christian Heritage Church, go to ChristianHeritageChurch.com and discover additional ways that you can partner with us to make a difference. Thanks for listening today and enjoy the podcast. This morning, I want you to turn with me to the Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. We're going to be reading a couple of verses here from this chapter. As you're turning there, I just want to go ahead and draw your attention to the subject. This morning, over the last 5 weeks, actually probably 6 weeks, but the last five messages that I brought to you on Sunday mornings have really gone in a theme concerning living your life in a way that is beyond being mediocre. How many people enjoy being mediocre? Don't raise your hand, by the way, if you like just being mediocre. No. But I'll be honest with you, most people are just mediocre. Would you say amen to that? Most people are just good with the status quo. They good, just go with the flow. Just keep things like they are, and they're just mundane, living a mundane life. Most people are like that. But what I'm talking about is spiritual mediocrity, which is a far greater concern. It's a greater concern with being just somebody living an ordinary life. Listen, be ordinary if you want to be ordinary. But when it comes to spirituality, we don't want to be mediocre. We don't want to be just status quo. We want to be growing. We want to be spiritually moving forward, and may God help us. So over 5 weeks or so, I've been teaching along this theme, and I've talked about vision and how that we need a vision beyond the majority of people. We need to see beyond the majority. We talked about Caleb and Joshua early on in the Old Testament, and how when the others around them couldn't see what God was doing and what He would have them to do, others just wanted to give up and quit. Joshua and Caleb said, "No, we believe we can go forward. We can move forward in the purpose and plan of God." So we need vision that we see beyond the majority, and we need vision that we will stay the course. Even when we're outnumbered, we'll take a stand. Even when we're outnumbered, even when other people sit down and you need to be standing up, you'll stand up by yourself if necessary, even if it's alone. We've talked about determination, how we need to have determination that no matter how difficult the road may get, that we're going to stand firm spiritually, that we're going to keep going. We're not going to give up. We're not going to quit. We're going to have determination. And that is in all areas of life, but especially spiritually, that we live a determined life. We've talked about commitment. We've talked about some uneasy subjects, because commitment is something that really challenges us. Sometimes we would rather just not commit. There's a host of people in our day that don't want to commit. And unfortunately, that's the way pretty much life probably has always been. The majority don't want to commit. The majority don't normally want to be dedicated. Why do I say that about the majority? Because Jesus said, conspiratorially now, He said that there's a broad road to destruction. And He said, many there be that find that way. There's many people go down that road. That's the majority way. The narrow way, it says, Jesus said, few there be that find that way. And so we want to make sure, though, that we bring as many people along with us to find the narrow way. What is that way? The way is Jesus. Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except through Jesus. And therefore, if you're going to go down the narrow way, that is not mediocrity. But I'll take you even beyond that, because some people say, I'm saved, and they'll say, I'm satisfied. But I would tell us today that we need to always be wanting to move forward spiritually into greater maturity, into stability, to walking out this relationship with God. It's about following Him, following Jesus. And so we continue in that thought today, and I want to bring you to another uncomfortable subject called accountability. Accountability is not one of those things that people really, they don't shout about. People don't get, you know, there's not a lot of, not a lot of amening when it comes to accountability. But accountability is so important. I want to just to say that we need someone to be accountable to, and we'll address that this morning. There was a gentleman, a great gentleman, that I had the great opportunity in singing at his funeral this week. His name was Dr. Herbert Carter. When I think about Dr. Herbert Carter, I think about one of the greatest biblical Bible scholars that I've ever known. I think about a man who was a theologian in his own right. He was a mentor to ministers. He was a expert in the area of church growth and building the local church and how we're to approach growing the local church spiritually and numerically. But just a great man that exemplified a life of integrity and a life of holiness and was a student of the word, and also was a great teacher and preacher of the word as well. And I thought about how that, and of this, Mary and Herbert Carter, his wife, died about a month or so ago, just over a month ago. And these are people that I've known my whole life. They were friends of my parents, my mom and dad. And in fact, Dr. Carter came here to preach at this church when I was 6 years old, 1974. That's how long that our family knew them. But after my daddy's death in 2002, there was a shift in our relationship where I just felt in a strong way accountable to him. But it was because, though, he had so much interest in me that I felt accountable. In fact, in the fall of that year, I knew I couldn't pastor this church if I didn't have a God vision to lead this church. I had known what it was like to God had given my daddy a vision for this church, and we were doing everything I was on staff to see that vision accomplished for what God had planned for us as a local church. But that fall of 2002, I was like, God, I've got to have a vision for the church if I'm going to effectively pastor the church. And in Knoxville, Tennessee, I was there at a conference, and really God spoke into my life. He spoke into my life, and I listed stuff that even until this day impact decisions I make right now. I mean, these 18 years later, they still are guiding thoughts for me that I believe I heard from God. But I remember the first person that I told, I met with Dr. Carter in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee at the Bob Evans restaurant. You always like to take in a restaurant if you're going to meet with somebody. And I sit there and shared with him what God had said, and he questioned me. We talked about it. He poured back into my life. I remember just under a year after that, probably 9 or 10 months after that, going through one of the most difficult times I've ever had here as the pastor of the church. Just a year into being the lead pastor, but very difficult, difficult time. And I remember meeting him in a hotel lobby in Griffin, Georgia, and telling him and talking to him about what I was going through, and then him weeping with tears rolling down his face, talking to me and praying with me, giving me wisdom and guidance about how I was to move forward. There was just this accountability relationship that until this past week, I had not really thought about it in detail, how that thing had unfolded. In fact, after that time and over the last years, from 18 years ago up until about 5 years ago, when he started being affected real strong way with dementia. Up until that time, I would get calls that if I got calls at midnight or 1 a.m. in the morning even, it was either going to be something going on with somebody in the hospital, some situation within our church family, or it was Dr. Carter. Because he would call me, and just many times after midnight, the phone would ring and he'd talk to me a solid hour, asking me every detail about what's happening within the church, what's going on, and giving me advice and wisdom in how to move forward, but always encouraging me, but also sometimes give me even a little word of warning to do certain things that would be really necessary to keep moving forward. And so I thought about that word accountability, and I thought about his relationship this week, and it kept being impressed upon me to bring me to this message today, accountability. And I want you to read with me Matthew chapter 12, verses 35 and 36. It says, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account to it in the day of judgment." We just see that once again. It says that every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. The first thing that I want to mention concerning accountability today is this, that we're accountable to God, and our accountability to God is inevitable and it's inescapable. It's inevitable and it's inescapable. Every one of us are going to give an account to God. We might not like that reality, but it is a reality. We'll come to the end of our way, either at the second coming of Jesus, or either by death. We'll come to the end of our way, and according to Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Again, I told you this was not popular. I told you this was not fun. This is not something that everybody's just like, man, I can't wait to hear about that. No. But it is real. It's real and it's important. In fact, I want you to look with me just a moment, and it'll be on the screen, the 14th chapter of Hebrews, Hebrews 14. I want us to look at a passage there beginning with verse 10. It says, "But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." Notice that. "For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God." Verse 12, "So then each of us shall give account of himself to God." So I don't really think that takes a lot more commentary than that. But I wanted to point out in this area of accountability that all of us are accountable to God, and it's inevitable and it's inescapable. We can't bypass it. Nobody will bypass it. It's there. Now, with that in mind, let me just say to you, that is probably one of the most, that causes me to shudder, that very thought today. I don't say it lightly regarding standing before God. The Bible says that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. I'm not talking about Halloween scary. What I'm talking about as a believer, if I'm not a believer, is Halloween scary kind of stuff. But if I'm a believer, this is more about respect and awe and the seriousness of it, what it means to stand before God. And it causes me to shudder on the inside. But I do that out of my respect and fear and the seriousness of that. So what I'm telling you is, some may say, well, boy, I got goosebumps when that person was singing. And they might hit this high note, and man, it'll just, woo, boy, that was awesome. But I want to tell you what causes me to feel that way is this word here. That we'll stand before God. And so may the fear of the Lord certainly be, we be aware of that and the importance and seriousness of that day when we shall stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just say this. If you're a believer today, we are resting not in our works, but we're resting upon the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. The way you and I stand victoriously and just on judgment day and when we give an accounting is through Jesus Christ. This is why I preach Jesus week in, week out. We cannot be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation unto everyone who believes. We cannot stop. We cannot stop with that message. We must push forward on it because this is a reality for somebody every single day. Every day. So we'll give an account to God. It's inevitable. It's inescapable. The second thing I want to point out is that accountability to spiritual leaders is commanded and is something that is profitable for us as individuals. This is, again, let me say that accountability to spiritual leadership is commanded by God and is profitable for us. Now, this is not a comfortable scripture for a preacher, the pastor of a church, to say before his people, because it can seem like it would be self-serving. But I want you to understand it today that we are all accountable to spiritual authority. Now, I want to look at another passage to go in line with this. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 through 16 says, "Watch, stand fast in the faith. Be brave, be strong. Let all that you do be done with love. I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that you also submit to such and to everyone who works and labors with us." In the next verse, he talks about a couple of other, Fortunatus and Archacus, that was also working along with them. But here Paul is talking to the church of Corinth and is saying, there's some guys called Stephanas and some others that work with him that you need to submit yourself to. And this was proper to do so. We need spiritual leaders in our life to be and submit to that authority. Now, this is just what the scripture says. Now, I want us to go a little further with that. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17, it says, "Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account." Notice that, and we'll stay right here with the scripture. It says, and this is key right here, We are to submit ourselves to spiritual authority in our life. We're to be accountable to spiritual leaders in our life. Why? Because those people will give an account before God. So what am I saying? I'm saying, number one, what our first point was, we all are accountable to God. We all are. It's inevitable. It's inescapable. But also, we're to be accountable to spiritual leaders. But let me just say this. The spiritual leaders have been given responsibility to watch over your souls, and we're going to be held accountable for that. Now, think about that for a moment. So I said again, this is shuddering to think of. Because I'm accountable for myself toward God. I'm accountable to God about myself personally. But I'm also accountable for you. Don't amen that, y'all. I'm just kidding. I'm just saying, though, that's rough. That may sound, what I'm saying is, but that's a reality. Why is it that we will preach from week to week? And I try to convince people to grow spiritually and not to live in a backslidden condition and I discourage them to get out of a life of sinfulness that would draw them away from God. Why? Because I give an account too for your souls. You see, we stand in the office of prophet. And when I mean prophet, there's two meanings of that. There's prophetic in the sense of future stuff. But prophecy is also the proclamation of the gospel. And so I've given responsibility for the proclamation of the gospel. I'm also, and why? What was that for? Because I'm a watchman. I'm to watch over your soul. So it matters what I preach from this pulpit. I can't preach this pulpit just what makes everybody feel good. I can't preach from this pulpit just what everybody says, man, that's what I want to hear. I just want me a good little word to help me through the week. I want a motivational speaker. Listen, I want to motivate you, but we got to do more than motivate. We need more than just a good thought, a good quotable, textable status that we can put up on our Facebook page that sounds all nice and spiritual. Listen, we're going to give an account. I'm going to give an account. And therefore, I want to preach the word. Be faithful to the word. And say, and so it's grave. It's weighty. It's serious. Now, you may ask, well, what about you? We're to be accountable. But what about you? I shared with you about Dr. Carter and his role in my life, but I want to tell you it goes further than that. I've got a group of pastors here in our area and I meet with them every Thursday morning for prayer. And let me just say to you this, it's not a prayer breakfast, by the way. Prayer breakfast. And you eat breakfast and go home. No prayer. No, it's not that. In fact, let me just tell you this. There's coffee and donuts, of which I don't drink coffee anymore, and I can't eat the donuts. And most of the time of our whole group there, nobody eats the donuts. It's a group that brings accountability. It's a small group. There's other pastors in this area that weekly and also outside of this area that I'm in contact with. They're checking on me and I'm checking on them. on our church staff. I'm accountable to Pastor Jonathan and Pastor Jody and Pastor Kim, Pastor Austin, and even my son Joshua, who's a pastor here, to Terry Watson, who's over our facilities care. And I'm accountable to Sherry Bentley and Carrie Evans, who handle the administrative responsibilities of the church in terms of the business function of it. I'm accountable to all these people, and they're likewise accountable to me. And we have a church board that I'm accountable to, and made up of deacons and elders here in the church, and I'm accountable to them, and we're accountable to each other, and it's important for us to do so. Accountability is so majorly important. And I don't want to live life without that. I want to tell you, many ministers have fallen in the way of sin themselves because of somehow being lifted up in some way that has brought them into a place of isolation when it comes to accountability. So I want to tell you, I'm very aware of that. And so we want to be accountable. Listen, so here we go. One, we're accountable to God, and it's inevitable. It's inescapable. We are to be accountable to spiritual leaders. There's those that have been put in authority over our lives spiritually. I've got people in that sense, and you are as well in the body of Christ. The third thing I want to mention, though, is that we are to be accountable one to another, and it's helpful and healthy. Accountable one to another, it is helpful and healthy for us to do so. Very important. Very important. Listen, we need accountability in every area of life. We need accountability in the home. We need accountability in marriages. Husbands need to be accountable to their wives, and wives need to be accountable to their husbands. And I've seen it too many times when a husband or wife begins to distance themselves from their spouse. If you're not careful, you'll put yourself in a vulnerable position, and you will find yourself slipping away and will ultimately find yourself in compromise. That's why we need accountability, to call one another out. I want to tell you, you got a license to call them out. If you see them doing something they shouldn't, you need to say, hey, listen, this is about me and you. We gotta come together on this. But over and over, we've seen affairs and all kinds of stuff happen in relationships because accountability is fractured in the home. Now listen, I'm not talking about browbeating your wife or husband. I'm just talking about being real. Just being real and saying, look here, buddy, you need to come to the house. It's okay to say, look, we can't live like this. Let's pull together and then love one another. But we got to love one another. We got to treat one another right. But it's so important in the home to have accountability. It's so important to keep children accountability. Listen, children, young and older children, need accountability. They need that. We used to seeing this on movies, parental guidance. It's okay to guide your child. And I'll say this, the Bible doesn't say spare the rod and spoil the child. That's not what it says. It says spare the rod or you hate your child. What it means is we need discipline. I need discipline. You need discipline. We all need discipline. We all need it. I've seen it time and time again. When you kind of get older, you've had that accountability within the home. You go off to college. Maybe you move out of the house and you want to distance yourself. The parents put in a position where they go, they don't want me in their business no more. That person is in a very vulnerable position. And I would encourage you. Yeah, you can't, they're grown, they're gone. But don't think that you don't need to hold them accountable. They need that. I need that my whole life. Don't you think my mama right now won't say something to me? She will. Don't you think that. She'll say it quick. And Joshua over here and Caleb, they need not think I'll be out of their business. You know why? You know why I do that? Because I love them. I love them. We need that. I want to tell you, your teenage child needs that accountability and needs your guidance, even if they act like they don't. Even when they're trying to get away from you, you just already know they don't know better. I don't care how smart your kid is in school. They need you. I don't care how mature you think they are. They need you. We need accountability in our lives. I'll tell you a little bit more about me. Because my friend is in this room today and he don't like this when I tell this, so I won't tell his name, but he's in the room. May the 7th, 2018, on a Sunday evening, right after church, a member of this congregation showed me great love when they called me into account. And it was calling me to an account based on my physical life. I'm diabetic. And they said to me, how you doing with your exercise? I said, well, you know when you start with that. Well, I'm inconsistent. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. I don't know, this and that and the other. Excuses. You hear them every day. Oh, the devil, he'll supply them. Then he said, what about your diet? Oh, I got one. He knew me being diabetic. There were some things I needed to be disciplined about. And after I got through making my excuses, he brought me into account and he said, you expect us to memorize scripture? And really what he was saying, you expect us to have spiritual disciplines. Why can't you walk? Why can't you exercise? Now I'm going to tell you something. The flesh, you know what the flesh wants to do when somebody says something about your diet? Pop them in the mouth, right? Huh? Talk to me now. That's what your flesh does, but I have to be honest with you, my flesh didn't. Because I immediately knew it was God. I immediately knew it was God because I knew my life was out of balance physically. And so I will tell you this, that word said to me from a brother that's in this room right now was one of the greatest acts of love that anybody has ever given me. Frederick Shumba, my brother and pastor friend from Zimbabwe, Africa, told me this. He said, everything that you do for God will be done in your body. Everything that you're able to do for God, Stephen, is going to be done within your body. And again, accountability, rebuke, correction, instruction. And we think maybe, well, that don't matter. That's not spiritual. No, I want to tell you, it's very much spiritual. Accountability. Accountability. Listen to this. Lot was accountable to Abraham. And when and Abraham was his uncle. We read about it in Genesis chapter 13 and then in verse 19. But what we see is when Laban got outside of the immediate accountability of Abraham, he got dragged down to the sin of Sodom. In Genesis chapter 39, we see that Joseph, man of integrity, he was accountable to Potiphar, who was his boss, who was the one he served in his household. He was a captain in the house. He had authority, Joseph did, within the household of Potiphar. But what we learn in the story was that Joseph understood he was accountable to Potiphar. In 1 Samuel, we read that King Saul was accountable to the prophet Samuel. Even though he was a king, he understood there were spiritual authorities that were in his life. And even though Saul's life ended bad, I want to tell you, he did recognize there was an authority that he was to be accountable to, and his name was Samuel the prophet. We turn over to 2 Samuel, and we see David. David, King David. David, the mighty warrior David. David, whose heart was bent toward God, and he had the heart of God. Even God said that. But David, by pulling away, not being where he was supposed to be, and actually isolating himself and getting outside of accountability, found himself in an illicit affair with Bathsheba. But there was an accountability nevertheless. The prophet Nathan was who he was accountable to. And Nathan came and said, thou art the man, David. You're wrong. You need to turn to God. You need to straighten this situation out. You need to get in right relationship with God. And even though David was a great king, a mighty king, he understood there is accountability. And there's a prophet here, Nathan, that I need to heed what he's having to say. And then we can hear David say, create within me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. If there be any wicked way within me, God, would you straighten that out? Take not your Holy Spirit from me, but restore unto me the joy of my salvation and renew a right spirit within me. Why? There was a man who he was accountable to that brought him back into the right relationship with God that he needed. We turn the pages. We see Nehemiah accountable to King Artaxerxes. Though Nehemiah had a dream to rebuild the wall in Jerusalem that had been broken down, Yet he would not do it without his getting the approval of King Artaxerxes to go and do it. Accountability. We turn over to the pages of the New Testament and we see Jesus himself accountable to God the Father, setting forth the example of examples. He was the Son of God. He was there from the very beginning when everything was created. Jesus was God himself, yet he was accountable to the Father, and he said, "Not my will but thine be done." The disciples were accountable to Jesus. John Mark was accountable to Paul and Barnabas. Paul and Barnabas were accountable to the church of Antioch. Timothy, Titus, and a list of others were accountable to the Apostle Paul. Onesimus was accountable to Philemon in the book of Philemon. In 3 John, Diotrephes was accountable to John. We see it again and again and again. You and I are accountable. That's what this message is today. I am accountable. Would you say that with me? I am accountable. One more time. I am accountable. Now I want you to say it from the depths of who you are. One more time. I am accountable. Just do it loud this time. I am accountable. Remind your spirit now. I am accountable. Let's pray together. Father, you hear us, you see us, you know everything about us. You know our thoughts afar off. You discern our motives. And Lord, you're able to even separate our thoughts and the intents of our heart. God, today, I don't know where we might be. The enemy might be trying to drag us into a place of isolation. Some of us might have already been drugged to a place of isolation where our accountability is not what it's been, should have been. And we find that the enemy has tricked us. God, help us not to be tricked. Accountability is huge. Lord, help us, Lord, not to be unaccountable and therefore find ourselves at risk of practicing sin and staying there, getting dragged down into a life of the where we just kind of marred in it and stuck in it. God, may we understand that accountability will put us in a situation where we're less likely than in any way to go against your way, but that we need these accountability relationships. God, you've got within this church. We're to be, that's why being a part of a local church is so important. That's why life groups are so important, and Sunday school classes and women's ministries and men's ministries and music ministries and being a part of teams, serving teams like ushers and missions groups and greeters and children's ministries, whatever they may be. God, that it connects us to other believers, which brings accountability into our life, and we all are desperately in need of it. God, help us.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Christian Heritage Church podcast. I want you to take the message you've just received and allow it to go deep into your heart. Allow Jesus to do the deep work that only He can do. And I also want to encourage you to be a part of what we're doing here at Christian Heritage by going to ChristianHeritageChurch.com. Thanks again for being here with us.